Blessed be the Lord. Amen.
Mark.
Yes, Madeline.
Just something personal about what happened to me. You were talking about Mama Bear, and it's funny because little Larry, my son, he calls me Mama Bear. And I thought that was funny when you started talking about it, because I can relate to that. If you come against me, I might, just shun it off and anything, but you come against my grandchildren, he calls me Mama Bear. And I know what he's talking about. So I had a laugh when I heard that, because I could identify with that, because that's what little Larry calls me to this day, Mama Bear. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
Well, are there any more mama bears here?
You bet.
Oh, here comes another mama bear.
I've been looking for the verse that says that God will put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And I'm not being able to find that. It's a song we sing too, that the nations may know. There's also something else I wanted to share. The other day, I don't know how long ago, it doesn't matter, but the other day I was writing down what our weapons were. And here's the first one that came to my mind, was love. Love is the greatest weapon that we can have, because it comes against everything. And the second one was here. I've got it. Just let me bring it up. Somewhere I have it. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is another huge weapon that we have, because it releases the individual from any bondage that the enemy would try to hold over us through unforgiveness and bitterness. And so praise God that those are very, very powerful weapons, because it was the love of God. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that was our biggest weapon, was the blood of Jesus. So those are a couple of the things that came to my mind that day. And plus casting down, there was the thing, I dropped my notebook somewhere. Casting down imaginations, there's more to it. And I can remember Sister Janet saying, come out, but we've come out, but we haven't come in. For the casting down, we have to cast out, catch it first, cast it out, but we need to be diligent to fill that place with something other than what was there troubling us. And then the scripture came was, whatsoever things are pure. And this is what I do, is that when those thoughts, finally, when I catch the thought, when I catch what's going on in my brain, that I catch it and I rebuke it and cast it. But then I pray, think on these things. So, Lord Jesus, I'm going to think on you. So it says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things, I replace the bad with the good. And that encourages me and keeps me, puts me in a better place than I was when the birds were flying over my head. So those were a couple of things.
Amen.
If in the course of life you've been done wrong, I know that sounds like bad English, but if somebody has done you wrong or betrayed you or cheated you or been unfaithful to you, these are the thoughts that you have to release from you. The weapon, like you said, of forgiveness. This is where you can use the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
And it works. It works. God's word is true. It's sharper, though. It is as I say, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God is our sword, and it works.
I have a question. This is something that's I've been dealing with personally for quite a while, but well, as some of you may know, like you, before I came to the Lord, in my past, I was quite a wicked person, into all kinds of wickedness, and just be going through my day, and all of a sudden, bam, a thought will come to my mind. Oh, you did this back in such and such year. And I know it's the accuser of the brethren, the devil coming, digging up my past and throwing it in my face all the time. But how do I make it stop? I mean, even when I rebuke it comes back and it just persistent, and it's like it's trying to make me feel as though I'm not worthy of God's grace and love, and I cast it down and I try to think on, positive things, things of the Lord, and it just keeps happening over and over, and it's like, where did these come from? It's like I've forgotten about these things for years, and yet they still keep coming up. So I just wonder if anyone has any advice for me.
Jer, I was gonna, if we had done the part that I had written down from Revelation 12, is to get into those verses, the accuser of the brethren, okay? His job, he thinks, is to continually accuse you. And it says, and they overcame the accusers, and there are three things that they overcame. By the blood of the Lamb. In other words, he's trying to come against your conscience and tell you that you're corrupted, that you did this, you did that, you trying to bring them back into your memory. But the blood of the Lamb, no. What happens, and you believe this by faith, is the Lord blotted that out. The Lord does not see that. It's only the devil that sees that. And the devil's trying to bring you his memory of what it was. No, it's under the blood. There's only one, it's under the blood. God doesn't even see it anymore. And there's more. The word of my testimony, okay? And I love not my life unto death. We're going to get into that next week. But in short version, yes. And by faith, I believe in the blood. Okay? I can't see that blood. I never saw Jesus crucified. I mean, the thief that was on that other cross, he saw the blood and it moved him. But God doesn't see that. Amen?
Amen. I
Many,
saw.
many, yeah, many verses how he's cast away our sin as far as the east is the west. As far as the ocean is deep, they're gone.
I was trying to read this man's t-shirt in the grocery store. He walked past me several times, and the t-shirt says, "Okay, you're bringing up my past. Talk to Jesus. He dropped all the charges."
Talk
Yeah.
to Jesus, he dropped all the charges.
Jeremy, I
You
had
know, it's go ahead, Mike.
well, when you were speaking, Jeremy, one word caught my ear. When you said you knew it was the accuser, but you said, "How do I make it stop?" And that word "stop" really hit me. I'm not sure you can make it stop, but you can make it not mean anything to you. You know, Jesus, when he said, "The prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me," Satan could have just hit Jesus with anything he wanted to say to him, and it didn't mean anything. You know, it's like, let's say that Satan was accusing you of being a bank robber. Well, you'd laugh in his face. You're not a bank robber, you know, he can't get you with that. So when he hits you with these things of the past, you're not those things anymore. Just forget about it. Let him say whatever he wants to say, and don't let it affect you.
I think what Mike is saying too is what I wanted to say, that the biggest thing is don't dwell on it. I've gone through the same things, Jeremy. Don't dwell on it. The more you dwell on it, the harder it is to let it go.
Amen. Amen. You know, the scripture says that the enemy comes to wear out the saints. Think about that, Jeremy. That's what he's doing to you, because you are a saint. That is, you are called of God. It was a sovereign call of God to bring you to the place of knowing him and coming into the kingdom of God. You are part of the elect, and that is God that did that. He chose you, and the enemy cannot deny that. All he can do is try to hinder you in your walk, but it doesn't change who you are in Christ. Amen. Is there anybody here that was not wicked? Anybody? I'm waiting for your hands.
No one. I'll speak for all of us. No one.
No, we were all wicked.
We're all wicked. We were
It
all.
might have, it, we might say, "Oh, well, they were only small sins. They were the kind of sins that everybody commits. Oh, no big deal." No, we were all wicked. We were all black. Our heart, our soul was black until Jesus' blood did something about it.
Jeremy, can I interject something here? I'm kind of feeling something in my spirit that the reason why the enemy is coming after you more is because you're growing higher up in God. And the enemy sees that, and he's trying to drag you down. He's trying to drag you back to the way you were before
Wearing them out.
and trying to get your mind back thinking the way you were. And the enemy sees you are climbing higher in God, and he's trying to drag you down. And the more he tries to drag you down, the more your mind is going and thinking, "Oh, yeah, that's the way I was." And your mind is going back to the way you were. And God is taking you on a different route. God is taking you higher up in him, and the enemy knows that. And he sees you are climbing to the fullness of God, and you are going to reach the fullness of God someday. And the enemy is trying to drag you down back to where you were before. And he's trying to get your mind thinking the way you were before. So I know it's probably hard to drown out those thoughts, but God is taking you higher up, and the enemy sees it, and the enemy knows it, and he's trying to drag you back. So I say, God bless you because you are climbing higher.
Well, you can't stop him, but you can overcome him. Because the word that I'm going to read this next week again too, it says, and they overcame the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. In other words, he isn't going to stop. Because he's gonna try, it's his only weapon. It's the only thing that he can do to try to tear you down. And it even suggests that he goes before the throne of God. Oh, look at Jeremy, look at Jeremy. And the Lord's only answer is, my blood. I don't see it. My blood. He's forgiven. He's a saint now, devil. He's a saint. He's going to heaven, but you're going to hell. I don't know what God tells him. I hope he reminds him, because I like to remind him every now and then that his destiny is the pit of hell, the fire of hell.
Amen. I have a little to contribute also. Jeremy is not in that position alone. I believe that we all are in that condition. And what the enemy does is exactly what he did with Jesus when he tempted him. But we have weapons, one of which is the word of God. When the enemy says 18, we must have another to counter him. When he said, if thou art the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus had to answer him that, look, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, there is a principle in this, which is when the enemy speaks, do not allow him to speak last. Whenever he speaks, you must speak the word of God to counter him. We must have the last statement. So that is why the word is very, very important to our life as men that have been regenerated. We must always have the word in our hands. It is a weapon in our hands. So when the enemy comes to quote anything, particularly our past, then we must remind him of the blood of Jesus that has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness to the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the cleansing, has been done in our souls and made us new. So when the enemy comes, we must reply, and that is by the word of God. So the word of God is a weapon. It must be a weapon ready in our hands. And please, may we not allow the enemy to have the last statement. We must always counter him by the word. And the enemy will flee when he sees that we're insistent on bringing forth the word to counter him. He must flee. And that was the situation, even with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jeremy is not in that position alone. This fight we must fight throughout our lifetime in the earth. So I encourage you, my brother, we are all in that fight. We must war until the last day. Amen.
Amen.
Hello, Mark. Can I say something?
Yeah, Kathy has something to say. Can you hear?
It's just another side to things. Sometimes when I've been fighting a battle in the spirit, and you know, I'm rebuking this and binding that, and I feel I'm losing, things kind of fizzle, and I don't feel the anointing to win. And I know then that God wants me to look inward, because there's something in me that he wants to deal with. And I was thinking of the Israelites when they were losing the battle or they lost, there was something, sometimes sin in the camp or idols, like when Rachel hid the idols and when they had stolen things in the tent. They had to get to the root of, they had to get to what was there that was causing them to lose the battle. So I find that in my own walk sometimes, you know, sometimes the anointing is there to win and have the power and authority, and other times kind of, it fizzles. And when it does, I know I have to go back and say, okay, Lord, what is it in me that you're shining the light that I have to deal with?
Okay, thank you, Kathy.
Jeremy, what's coming to me when I'm sitting there listening to all of it, when the darkness wants to come in, send out the light. And the light is the word of God. You have to come against it with the word of God. The light is greater than the darkness. Amen.
Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon the earth, and his glory shall be seen upon me.
Yes, send out the light. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not near as good a singer as Rita. Forgive me.
You did pretty good there, Mark.
Well, Mike, we haven't heard much from you.
Well, I did have one little thing come to me just real quick. When you mentioned we need to go on the offensive, you know, what popped into my mind was when God chose the scripture to start talking about David's sin with Bathsheba. It starts out and says, at a time when kings went to war.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when kings went to war, David decided to stay in the city and he got himself in trouble. You know, there's a time to go to war, and it's always for us. You know, we need to be, don't just be a sitting duck and let Satan take pot shots at you. Let's go after him. You know, we can get ourselves into a place where we got a lot of power in God, and let's start using it.
Thank you, Mike.
Amen.
One more little thought coming to me. Break that earthen vessel and let the light come forth. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I saw in the scripture where they broke the vessel and the light